Many of you have asked about the origins of the Golden Age of Radio, which was first broadcast on WTIC, Hartford, Connecticut, some 35 years ago, in 1970. Its roots actually go back about 5 years before that, when I first met Ed Corcoran, who was a collector of old-time radio shows. And a lot of time has passed since we did the show, and a lot has happened. I left WTIC to join the Voice of America in 1977, and today we live in Washington while Ed and his family are still in Connecticut. As to how Ed and I got together in the first place, I couldn't remember, so I called him recently, hoping that he could fill in the blanks. How are you, Ed?
I'm just fine.
It's great to hear your voice again.
Well, likewise. It's always a pleasure to talk with my old radio partner.
Well, we do go back. We go back 40 years, back to 1965.
Oh, it can't be that long. Really? Well, 1965.
It really does go back that far. But I'm trying to figure out, Ed, how we got together in the first place. Do you remember?
Yeah, so you were doing a show on TV, General Interest. I called in and said, I like what you're doing, and could I get some more information? And I guess from there we got started, and I came in and we talked. And I guess from that came a lifelong friendship, shall we say.
At least one for 40 years. But did you do a television show with me at first?
Yeah, I think we did. That was my first encounter. You had a, I guess, some kind of collection or something like that, and I don't remember the details, but we did do it live in the studio.
And this was about old-time radio?
No, it was. I think it was on some other subject, and we get into that, and that was kind of the start of it. But it wasn't what we were doing at the time. It was something different.
But then I found out about your radio collection, and I became intrigued because I too was interested in this so-called old-time radio, but I didn't have any recordings, and you did. How did you manage to acquire these recordings, at least at first?
Well, I always had tape recorders, and I guess I realized, that radio was kind of dying out. TV was taking more and more time from dramatic shows. And also, I found a lot of other people in the country, not a lot, but half a dozen anyway, who shared my interest in it. So we exchanged tapes and et cetera and kind of built up our own collections. So I had some California tapes and some Chicago tapes and, of course, local ones.
Well, my recollection is that when you first came into the radio studio back in Hartford, you had a 16-inch transcription with you of the Jack Armstrong program. Now, how would you have acquired something like that? That was right out of a radio station.
Well, a friend of mine, I guess in New Britain, he was in radio in the armed forces. He told me he had all these transcriptions that he kept, and he didn't know what to do with them, so he thought he'd give them to me. So they came from the AFRS, Armed Forces Radio Service, and I guess they were the backbone of a lot of the programs they did to fill in, along with Army, Navy news and so forth.
They actually made a very good source, didn't they, for radio collectors, because they did have these 16-inch transcriptions, and that provided the recording that you needed in order to preserve these shows.
Yeah, I have about 40 of them down in the basement right now. I can copy all those onto tape or whatever media is available.
We did a number of irregular shows, if you will. You appeared on a program I did called Americana, and then when I did the afternoon music show, you were a guest. I think we put you on five times a week or something like that.
Oh.
We also celebrated the radio station's anniversary from time to time with excerpts from your collection. Do you remember?
Oh, yes. I guess I was kind of a recurring guest on your show. And each time we kept getting more deeply involved in, in fact, the radio was, it's kind of losing its impact. And we have some of the great shows that when radio was king and how great it really was.
It really was. Well, then, in 1970, one of us came up with the idea of actually interviewing the people who did those broadcasts. I don't know if that was your idea or my idea. Do you remember?
I'm sure it was a joint effort, that's for sure.
Yeah. And we decided to try to make it happen.
and we did.
Well, we were fortunate, Ed, in that a lot of the people who had been in radio had either found new jobs in Connecticut or retired to Connecticut. So we started out with some of the writers and producers of programs, but then we decided to branch out and get some of the stars. Do you recall how that happened, how we made those contacts? How did we begin to reach out to the John Gibsons and people of that caliber?
Well, through various contacts, we found these people lived generally in the area. And the thing is that they all loved it. You know, radio to them was a great part of their life. And when we talked about talking about their career and that medium, they really got all excited. You know, we had a lot of cooperation from the people who were in radio at that time. They just loved to do it and talk about it.
And I think it's because nobody was asking them about it at that time.
Just you and I.
Since then, of course, it has become a hobby with hundreds and thousands of people across the country. But at that time, nobody was talking very much about it. So we had sort of a first-hand opportunity to bring these people along. And I remember some of the stars that we did interview, including Don Ameche. Do you remember that?
Oh, of course. You know, he was an icon, of course, in radio and in movies and elsewhere as well, you know.
And do you remember how cooperative people of his stature were? It was amazing.
Yeah, and I don't recall anybody turning us down. You know, when you mentioned radio, they all got all hepped up about it.
Yeah, they sure.
That's great. You know, I'd love to do it kind of thing.
Absolutely. Do you have any favorites of all the people that we interviewed? And I don't expect you to rattle them off, but I mean, does any one or two come to mind as being outstanding?
Well, I enjoyed all of them really, but I guess Jackie Kilk. He played Homer, I guess, on the Henry Olvich program, and we had quite a nice conversation going with him. No, I don't have these names in front of me. If I had a few names, I could probably recall how we met them and how we got them onto the show.
Oh, absolutely. How about Rosa Rio? We went right down to her home and recorded her in front of the organ that she had in the living room.
That's right. TIC was very generous in allowing us to go out with an engineer and do these things on location, you might say. They didn't all come to the studio. We went out and visit them at their home or their place of business. So the station was very cooperative in financing those treks for us.
Absolutely.
You needed an engineer to go along and so forth. You know, it wasn't just, it was done professionally is what I'm trying to say.
I remember we interviewed Leon Janney in, I think it was Fort Lee, New Jersey. That was a goodly distance from Hartford. And we got to New York on several occasions.
Yeah, that's right. And again, if I had a list, I could probably tell you which ones particularly we did that with. But how many guests do we have all together? You recall that figure, don't you?
Well, I think we had over 80. And you can't recall them, huh? Well, it was a wonderful run, and we did it for 7 years, from 1970 until 1977. And there's a part of me that wishes we were still able to do that program because we were able to meet such fascinating people.
Oh, yes. It was the golden age for me, as far as meeting these people and people I've admired and followed their careers, and to see them all in person was a great experience, no question about that.
Well, Ed, it's been great talking to you again. We, of course, do talk every couple of weeks by telephone, although I don't think we've seen each other in probably 20 or 30 years. But we do manage to keep in touch, and that's the most important thing.
Oh, yes, no question about that. And I guess when is the last time we did see face-to-face?
I think it was 1977.
Oh, for goodness sake. You won't even recognize me anymore.
Well,
I'll have to put an IUD on when you see me.
My hair has turned gray also. Good talking to you, Ed.
Well, Dick, it's been a pleasure, and let's do it again real soon.